This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me is Tracy Gregoire. It is Thursday, almost at the end of the week. And was it raining when you came in?
It was not.
Yeah,
I don't think it's supposed to. Just cloudy all day.
Okay, see, I thought that the rain yesterday was supposed to continue for a few days.
I think so. We've had enough. I think we're good.
I think so, too. I agree.
We needed it, and now we're good.
That's right. I agree. Well, we have a packed show, as usual. Well, maybe it's not too packed, right? Our first
it's
guest.
Packed enough.
Of course, we have our segment with MHP Untapped, Michael Helpley Pierce, and he is in the greenhouse, and he's with Burt's Better Beers, so I'm anxious about that. That should be fun. It's always fun talking to Michael and his guests. And then
always fun to talk about beer.
Of course.
Just saying.
You are so right. And it was national, it was Brewers Day. I had texted Michael. I don't remember if it was this week or last week. Isn't that terrible? But anyway.
It's all a blur.
Yeah, it was National Beer Brewers Day or something. But anyway, and then second hour, we'll be joined with my dad. So we'll talk recipes and food and places to go and all that kind of stuff. So here we are.
Great.
So, how was your night last night?
It was good. Didn't sleep a lot.
Oh, that's right. You did have a little photo shoot, which
going
is great.
On. And how about you? You kind of didn't sleep very well either, huh?
You know what? I kind of took it easy yesterday because the night before, 2 days ago, I had my scuba diving lesson and I hit my head on the when I was jumping into the pool, I didn't do it correctly and my cylinder hit the edge of the pool and then in turn the cylinder hit my head.
Ouch.
Yes, so I have a bump on my head. I told Daryl, I said, just make sure I wake up in the morning, okay?
Give you a little shake every now and again.
first night I slept fine, and last night I didn't sleep very well, and I've had like a dull headache for a couple of days, so I do have a call into the doctor, so.
Good.
I'm fine.
But you passed your test with flying colors.
I passed my written test, and I did better than Daryl.
That always feels a little good.
Of course it does.
Now, so tell me, what happened after you hit your head? Did you
I did, because I was embarrassed, and I didn't, and they didn't even realize that it hit my head. I think that they just thought the cylinder hit the side of the pool, which you heard the big bang.
Yeah.
So anyway, I did continue on, and we did well. We have just one more night in the pool Tuesday.
Okay.
To finish a few more things. Like, you know, we had to go in and fill up our goggles with mm-hmm. water and then get it out,
yep.
you know, on our own. And then we did the, you know, if your buddy is out of air,
yes.
you know, you're,
yep. we have to do all the motions
right.
and share and all
share
that.
The air and
yeah.
all that.
It's so all coming back to me from 20, 15 years ago.
Yeah. It's a lot to know. It really yeah. is. So,
so then anyway. Once one more class and then
one
you're
more class,
certified?
And, well, one more class. And then what Daryl and I guess haven't decided, but you have to do 2 out dives in open water
mm-hmm.
and they're doing it at the lake. And 2 weeks ago at class, you know, because we go to Cayman every Christmas.
Oh, that's right.
And our instructor's there also at that time. And, you know, he said, well, if you want, you can do your 2 out dives. I do this all the time, referrals to, you know, because
That would be way better anyways.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Versus going in the lake?
Yeah.
Yucky.
The lake doesn't really freak me out. I mean, I swim. I've done a couple triathlons and I've swam in the lake. And it freaked me out a little bit at first. But I can't imagine it would be very interesting.
Well, that's what I mean.
It's just all
murky
and dark,
that's what
I would think.
I don't want to see what's under there. I really don't. I mean, I don't mind swimming in the lake. I don't mind that at all.
Leave it to your imagination.
But going, I don't know. So, but Daryl, I think, really wants to do it. So, I don't know. I don't know what might happen. So, we'll see. We'll know next week. So, anyway, that's about it. And,
well,
you know, we cooked dinner, and we've been doing Blue Apron. Have you heard of Blue Apron?
I have not. What is that?
BlueApron.com. And you order, you sign up. We do 3 meals a week with Blue Apron. They come on Mondays, and it comes in a big box, and it's all with dry ice in it and everything, and it's 3 meals. Well, 6
no
meals
way.
To eat. But the thing is, they're not, like, already cooked. They're all the ingredients for them. As a matter
okay.
of fact.
That's yeah. okay. I'm good with that.
Well,
I'm
here we go.
It down.
Here is, like, see, this is what you get.
That
and it
great.
Tells you step by step. what, you know, how to cook it. So you're cooking, and it's gourmet stuff. I'm not like gourmet, but it's just, you know, different ingredients, upscale ingredients, things that you don't normally, you know, see too much. Here's like a few more.
So pan-seared cod. Let's see. Looking at some of the pork ramen.
That sounds delicious. That one right there.
Southern style chicken cacciatore with all the ingredients. Beautiful pictures.
Right. So it's fun. We do that. You know, we'll take turns or we'll do it together. Either he'll cook, I'll clean, or I'll cook and he'll clean, you know, whatever.
But sometimes that's the worst part of it for me, is figuring out everything that you need, what you have, and then going and getting it and bringing it back. How nice to just have it all delivered to your front door.
The thing with us, we're two. And when I go to the grocery store, I tend to, you know, when you want to make one thing, you got to get like a bunch of cilantro or a bunch, you know, or whatever ingredients. And we always have leftovers. With this, there's zero leftovers.
So the seasonings, everything come?
Everything is in there, except it'll tell you what not. Like, I use my own salt, pepper, and olive oil. Other than that, all the spices come with it.
That's incredible. What a good idea. And how long have you been doing it?
We've been doing this for a few months. There's a few of them out there. I use between Blue Apron and Plated. Plated.com.
Okay. I have to check this out.
That's pretty interesting. So you have kids, so it's probably a little different. You know, it's just Daryl and I. So, but the best thing I like is there's zero waste. We use everything. It's two meals. He eats a little bit more than me, so I just, you know, we just split them up that way.
What about the cost of it?
It's about, for us, for six meals a week, it's about $65,
$70. Oh, that's really good.
It's not bad at all.
And can you choose your sizes, like two people, four people?
With, yes, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
With Blue Apron, they choose it for you. You put if you want vegetarian, if you just want meat, or you just want fish, or you know, whatever. We can do anything.
And so you can do like healthy choices, and
you know, no, they don't have it like that. And neither does Plated. But Plated, you can pick exactly what you want.
Oh, okay. So you can try to make it healthier.
You can, yes. They're not that bad. They vary between, like, you know, 600 calories up to, you know, maybe 700 or so. Even some as low as 500 calories. So.
And who delivers that? I've always wondered with that.
I think it's FedEx.
Not the post office, obviously.
I want to say it's FedEx.
Very cool. So, well, yeah. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's fun. So, there we go. Today's food holiday is, I guess pudding season begins. That's what it says.
That's a season?
Pudding season begins. I never knew that either. I find out so many different things with these food holidays. It's also World Vegetarian Day, which I kind of thought was a little interesting. And today, on this day, and back in, wait a minute. Where was I reading this? Oh, that wasn't the one I was reading. Shoot. Well, on this day, back in 2011, not that far ago, world population hit 7 billion.
Wow.
No.
That's a lot of people.
There was something about McDonald's, but, on this day in 2009, McDonald's closed its three locations in Iceland this month due to the complex operational environment.
I can imagine that might be difficult.
I would think, right?
So, Food for Thought is brought to you today by Red Arrow Diners in Manchester, Milford, and now open with drive-through in Londonderry, redarrowdiner.com. Also, Integrity Health Coaching Solutions in Bedford and Londonderry and North Conway now for men and women in the North Conway location. Right. IntegrityFit.com, your coaching solutions company. And Star Dental, our newest sponsor. At stardentalmanchester.com on 50 South Main Street for kind of a spa-like dental atmosphere, if you can believe
that. I know, that's
what
you said. I go by there every day, too. I'll have to check it out. Cool.
Let's peek in and say hello to Mary and Dr. Khatib.
Khatib?
Dr. Khatib.
Oh, yes. I may do that. I literally, you know, because I live right up over that way, and I go by Main Street all the time.
There you go.
So, I think it's time for us to go to a break. You're listening to Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. We're going to go on a break. When we come back, it is MHP Untapped, and he brought in with him Bert from Bert's Better Beers. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse. It must be Thirsty Thursday, because Food for Thought is about to pour you a liquid lunch with MHP Untapped. Hang out with us while we talk with brewers and beer movers and shakers, discuss New Hampshire beer culture and events, and answer calls to our studio live at 866-823-1077. And now, MHP Untapped.
All right.
That's such a cool beat.
You just love that.
I do. I do.
He gets so excited.
Well, that's my partner in my brewing venture and I were actually a rap group before we were anything else, believe it or not. And that's actually one of the beats from one of our favorite songs that we ever did. So I hear that and I just start singing the lyrics in my head because I'm just a silly guy.
It's catchy.
Yeah, it is.
It's really good. I like it. Oh my gosh, listen to him.
Can you see him as a rapper?
And my partner even more so. You know, he's a farmer rep, very clean cut, clean shaven, boy face. Just, you're like, you what? No.
Somehow that makes it better to me to see somebody who just doesn't quite fit the bill.
It's true. Yeah. That is true. Yeah. I like that. So who did you bring with you today?
I have the amazing Bert Bingle joining us in the studio today. Bekilted. Is bekilted the appropriate
thing? You could say, yeah, bekilted.
Bekilted. Yes. I like that.
He's definitely kilted.
Bekilted, yes. Bert from Bert's Better Beers. That's a lot of B's.
Yeah, that's a lot of beats. A lot of alliteration going on there.
So welcome. You're no stranger here anyway.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me again on the show.
Yeah, for
good
sure.
Good to see you again.
Mm-hmm. So what is happening over at Bert? Well, actually, today is like a big day in the beer world. Would it be better to say in the craft beer world?
Well, I guess if you're not a craft beer drinker, it wouldn't matter to you at all.
Okay.
But then
a big event for the craft beer drinker.
For sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So why don't we let the listeners know what's going on?
Well, today is going to be the release of Founders Breakfast Stout in New Hampshire. We're finally going to be getting one of the most sought after, most important beers in the country.
Whoa. That's a pretty big label.
It is. And, you know, we've had to really fight a lot of controversy here in New Hampshire. It took a lot of effort through a lot of people. Andy Day, Mark from the beer store, we all were on the Hill a couple of times testifying in front of the Commerce Committee. And, we finally brought this beer in, and it's going to be good stuff.
So for listeners out there that don't know exactly what happened with that beer, it was something with the label and having a baby on it. And
There was a labeling issue with it. And the label has a picture of a child eating out of a bowl of oatmeal. And the label says Founders Breakfast Stout. And, you know, there's a statute in New Hampshire that you can't depict minors on a label. But, you know, that got hard fought because there were some contradictions as far as that goes. There's some other examples of labels that had minors on the bottle. Mm-hmm. And it took 2 or 3 years to bring it to bear. But, they finally got one over and it's getting delivered today.
Hmm. And this is a beer that only gets released once a year anyway.
Mm-hmm. So when it gets delivered and people are probably who are aware of it are sitting there, you know, waiting anxiously for it. Mm-hmm. How much does any particular store get? Is it certain stores that get it? And how long does it typically last? Like, can you buy it for a day, a week, a month?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, that's certainly going to be limited to, primarily craft stores, but I'm sure there'll be a number of other stores that get it as well. How long is it going to last? Well, that's a good question. It's going to be certainly a type of beer where people are going to be really wanting it right away. And, you know, I don't know how much of it that I'm getting. The truck should be there by the time I get back to the shop.
So I'm following Bert back to the shop.
Right. And they're going to put your stash aside. Do they put your stash aside?
I won't say.
Put you on the spot.
I think Founders allocates their seasonal offerings like this based on how much you sell and how much of a partner with the brewery you are. So I know when they have their KBS, which is a similar beer but aged in bourbon barrels, that's allocated based on sales numbers, I think, more than anything else. And I think often proprietors of shops like Bert are going to reward their good customers who come in every week and buy the core brands and help enable them to get that allocation. I think those folks are probably, I can't speak on Bert's behalf, but I've certainly read articles where proprietors of bottle shops, that's how they deal with seasonal offerings. That if you're just Joe Schmo going to every single bottle shop along Route 93, and you've never been into Burt's before and you ask for it, you're certainly not going to get a lion's share of it.
Well, no, not really. I mean, not in my shop. And we certainly like to be fair with everybody. I mean, there is a limited supply as far as that goes. And, you know, we try to be as judicious as possible. We want to make sure to share the wealth. And certainly, you know, anybody who's going to want it and comes into the shop, and if we got it in supply, I'm all about selling beer.
You and your capitalistic ways.
Yes.
So what makes this beer so special? Like, what about it?
It's barrel aged. It's a stout. It's got an incredible flavor profile to it. It's if you look at Beer Advocate, does it get 100 on Beer Advocate?
Either 99
or 100.
It's certainly one of the best examples of the given style that's available. I think a lot of people look to it as kind of the standard for the style.
You know, and certainly people are going to want to buy it, and they're going to want to drink some right away, but they're also going to want to put some away and age it, because it's one of those beers that certainly gets better over time.
That's what I was going to ask you, because you have downstairs at your house, you have beer that you put aside.
Was that you I saw down there last night? You know, I thought the door was open, and I'm thinking maybe my wife just didn't lock it, but you were at my house, weren't
you? Raiding the cellar.
You cleaned up your empties, though, so I appreciate that. At least you left it better than you found it. Yeah, this is definitely a beer that I would age, and if I pick up a couple of them, I will probably put this with the rest of the stouts.
There's a lot of people, that's certainly what they do. They'll choose beers that are certainly of a quality that they want to put them away and try them 6 months, year, 2 years later. You know, certainly there's a thing called a vertical out there, and, you know, certainly there's beers that are date labeled, you know, 2013, 2014, 2015, and people will put them away in their private cellars, and they'll do a vertical. They'll sample a 2013, 2014, 2015, and they'll, you know, look for the changes in the flavor profiles as those beers age in the bottles, almost like wines.
Now, this might be a crazy question. Mm-hmm. Do you stand them up or do you tilt them down?
Stand them up.
Okay, so it probably doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think the only reason you do that with wine is because you want to make sure that the cork stays wet.
Right.
Well, actually, with beer, you do want them to stand up because there is some fermentation that still happens in the bottle, and there's a little bit of yeast cake that forms on the bottom. And if you lay them down on the side, that yeast cake migrates up to the side, along the side of the bottle. And the yeast isn't going to kill you, but it's certainly, you know, some people don't want that as part of their beer when they pour it.
Okay.
So, you know, you want to store your cellared beers at what we call cellar temperature, 50, 55 degrees. Stand them straight up, keep them in the dark.
Now, why do beers like this, why is it that they come out just like one time a year? What is the,
it's
is it
a
just
complicated
like the
process to okay, make them. So. They're, you know, they take a long time to brew, and certainly when you're barrel aging them, you know, they sit for a long time in the barrels. It's not unlike wines and bourbons and whiskeys that can take, you know, sometimes several years in a barrel before they go to market.
And I think a piece of it is mystique as well. You know, beer, it's sort of the forbidden fruit. If a beer is always available and it's awesome, it's a whale, as they say, eventually you're going to get bored of it. But if it comes out every year, you're probably going to buy as much as you can that one time a year, and they may actually end up selling more in the long run, certainly keeping the brand interesting.
Okay. Now, where is Founders based out of?
Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Okay. So this is when this comes out, it is a nationwide phenomenon,
I think they're nationwide, because they just got 30% bought by Modelo,
It is a nationwide release, but, you know, it doesn't happen all on the same day. Logistics, you know, they have to ship it and truck it and that kind of thing. But within a certain, you know, time period, a very short time period, you know, those releases happen right around the same time every year. You don't have the exact date on it. Today's New Hampshire's turn.
All right.
And Burt will have some bottles available at Burt's Better Beers today.
I'm hoping, I'm of the ilk that I don't believe it till it actually walks through my door. But we are expecting it. It's imminent.
So when you go back to the shop, and let's say it's there, will you crack one open and try it? Or not? I'm just curious.
There might be a celebratory bottle open in the back office. I don't know.
I'm thinking I would like to buy a couple, and I think I'm actually going to drink one today.
I parked right behind you, so you can just follow me back to the shop.
I think I know where your shop is, Bert.
For those of you tuning in, you are listening to Food for Thought on 107.7. We are in studio with our biweekly segment, MHP Untapped, Michael Helpley-Pierce. And he brought in with him today Bert Bingle of Bert's Better Beers. You can check him out on the web at bertsbetterbeers.com. And today's a big day in the beer world.
You can also check us out on Facebook. A lot of our action happens on Facebook.
All right. Sounds good. We're going to go on a short break, and we're going to be back. We'll be back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Food for Thought with Carol, and joining me is Tracy Gregoire, and it is MHP Untapped segment.
And he wants to play his theme song again.
I know. I love it. And we are also joined with Bert Bingle of Bert's Better Beers.
Hello.
Again, you can check him out on the web at bertsbetterbeers.com. And what were we...
I wanted to throw a few events out. Yes. So tonight from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Holiday Inn and Suites in Nashua is the Oktoberfest Mega Mixer. It is, if you're a networking kind of person, it is four different chambers of commerce getting together and doing a big after hours event. Hudson, Greater Derry, Londonderry, Sauhegan, and Merrimack Chambers. And, I will be there representing the Tap Handle Show. And, I might even have some goodies to give away for folks that stop in. So if you're interested in registering for this event, you can actually go to the MerrimackChamber.org and look up their events. You can register right from that page, and it goes from 5:30 to 7:30 this evening. And I also wanted to mention the Smutty Nose Oktoberfest, which is a week from Saturday from 2 to 7. And you can get tickets right on their website. And I passed the information along to Carol, so I'm sure she'll get that along the appropriate social media channels. But that's going to be a good event, and I will not have a table there, but I will be there with my lovely wife with the VIP passes that their Minister of Propaganda was kind enough to pass along to me.
Nice.
So we'll be having fun listening to music and
look who knows so much.
Drinking beer with a designated driver.
Even better. I have to say, my husband texted me. He is on his way out to go find some Founders Breakfast.
Excellent. Well, he needs to go no further than 1100 Hooksett Road.
There you go.
So maybe he'll beat you there, Bert.
We'll see. Hopefully the truck is there.
There'll be like 37 dudes in cargo shorts waiting outside of your store.
Now, do you guys all have like a communication thing going on? Like if one brewery, you know, one, you know, store gets it, do they call you and say, I just got mine, yours should be coming, or is it...
Well, Facebook's an amazing thing. There's a lot of communication that goes on that. A lot of texting goes back and forth as far as that goes. Oh, yeah, hot news travels real fast.
Now, tell us why we talked a little bit about this off air, why it's called Breakfast Out. There's a reason behind that.
Well, you know, I don't know exactly why it is. You know, I'm going to make a supposition here. It's because it has oatmeal. And, of course, you have oatmeal for breakfast. And you know, if you look at the label, of course, it's the child
and coffee
out of it. And coffee, which are both breakfast staples.
How do you include oatmeal and coffee in a beer? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, you would use oatmeal just like you would use any other grain. You would put it in with the malted barley and the warm water, and the enzymes would go to town and turn the starches into sugars. Leaves a little bit more of a sort of an oily kind of mouthfeel. I said that sounds negative, but it's really not a bad thing. And sort of a thicker mouthfeel to the beer, so it's not unusual for
smoother sugars
to be included in the recipe in the grist bill for a stout. And coffee, you're seeing more and more breweries are making, especially dark beers, with coffee and cold steeping the coffee so that you don't get as much of the bitterness or the tannins out of the coffee, but you get a lot more subtlety of flavor.
So not necessarily using the bean, the coffee bean, but actually brewing it, but in a different
like
manner.
Like you would make sun tea, where you just put the whole beans or really rough grounds in water at room temperature or cold and let it sit in the fridge for a couple of days.
Yeah, whenever I make a home brew and I use coffee as ingredient, I just brew a very strong batch, a couple of cups, let it cool down, you know, throw it into the wort.
All right. Thanks for clarifying that.
Now, Michael, did I see correctly? We are friends on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You were at the beach with your...
I was at the beach with my ferrets. I cannot tell a lie.
Ferrets in the hood. I saw that.
They were, yes. I was walking around with one of them in the hood of my hoodie. My wife and I have had ferrets for a long time, and we've only had this batch for a little while. We got them actually from a shelter. They were from a soldier who got deployed, and she did a really good job of socializing them. So they're really friendly. They're very used to people, but what they're not at all used to is going outside, and our ferrets have always been all terrain. So my father lives just outside of Savannah, and we take an every other year road trip down for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, but we take about 5 days to get there. We drive down the Outer Banks and, you know, Chincoteague and Assateague through.
And you take the ferrets.
And we take the ferrets. And, well, we've got an SUV and we got a travel cage, and it's cheap to stay on that piece of the coast off season, and we have no stress because we just drive as far as we want, and then we stop and we book a hotel, and then we continue the next day. But most of our day stops are out on the beach, and you know, frankly, the ferrets need to learn how to take care of their business outside because they're stuck in the car with us all the time. So they have to kind of get acclimated to not only being on harness, but also to being outside, because, you know, there's a lot of sky and there's a lot of, there's no walls, there's no security. So we have to kind of get them used to that before they're stuck in the car with us for 10 days.
Wow. Ferrets. I know. I saw that. And I'm like, is this, am I seeing this? Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, what's with the marmots, man?
We believe in skin. Always with the Lebowski references whenever you put Bert and I in the same room.
Good movie.
So, Bert, let's talk a little bit about your store. For people that have not been there, why don't you just walk us through the front door?
Well, you know, we're 1100 Hooksett Road in Hooksett, Community Plaza. We are the premier craft beer shop in New Hampshire. We've probably won every local award there is to win. And there's a reason for that, because, you know, we carry just about every craft beer that's available to us. We're not afraid to carry things that some people might not want to carry. We certainly know a lot about beer. I'm a BJCP certified judge. Michael is also a BJCP judge. Our staff is very familiar with what's inside the beers. We try to make sure that they get the Cicerone beer server certification, you know, because there's so many beers out there. And, you know, I stopped counting at 800 labels a couple of weeks ago. People always ask me how many I have in there. And you can certainly look at the bottle and you shop by the label and you say, well, this says double IPA made with coriander, and this, what's it taste like? And unless you have some direct experience with the beer, and one of the things that we do is we sample everything that we that comes in. We send our employees home with homework. There will be a hop quiz tomorrow.
Nice job to have.
Right. Yes.
Look at all this homework.
Rough work, but you can get it too.
I want to go work part time
right.
At first.
But it's very important if people come in and they say, you know, like a lot of people, they're not familiar with certain styles of beer. They're shopping for somebody else, and they say, you know, I'm shopping for a friend, or I'm getting a gift. This is the kind of thing that they like to drink, and we want to give them proper direction and be able to tell them, okay, now, you know, give them the treatment as far as, you know, this is what this beer is, this is what's inside of it, this is what you can expect from the hops and the malts,
this is what you can pair
profile.
With it.
Yeah, what you can pair with it, we do a lot of that as well.
Now, back up a little bit, because you said, you have over 800 labels, mm-hmm. and you said something about carrying things that sometimes other people wouldn't want to carry. Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, some people will come into our shop, and this is anecdotal. They'll come in and they'll say, you know, I don't see some of these beers anyplace else. And, you know, that's pretty much how it is. And I'm just one of these guys that said, I want this beer. The distributors are all like, I'm always on the phone with them. You're going to get this. You're going to get that. Why aren't you getting this? Bring it into the state, for crying out loud.
And if there's anything that's made in the state, Bert will always have it. So there are folks that only distribute locally in their own neck of the woods, and he's got them anyway.
We're very strong with local product. We love local product. You know, New Hampshire is becoming a huge craft beer mecca. Matter of fact, recently I just read that the Derry Londonderry area has overtaken Portsmouth as far as being the beer mecca of New Hampshire.
Wow. I'm not surprised. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although I'm sure David Sikulski will be battling that tooth and nail.
Yeah, well, you know, let's get some competition.
It goes back and forth, yeah. And I anticipate actually that the Concord area might just be taking off in the near future.
Oh,
as well.
Really?
Who knows? Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think so?
It's a good possibility.
It might be too much to carry, don't you think?
There might be. Well, you know, I hear about those guys opening up in Pembroke. Oddball. They're probably just a few weeks away from opening. And then there's Area 23 up in the north end of town, which I heard just received their equipment yesterday or today, and then there's rumor of somebody going in on Hall Street as well.
Yeah,
perhaps.
New Hampshire has really exploded as far as the craft beer scene, and there's a lot of quality beers out there now. I mean, it used to be thought of that we were a backwater as far as the beer scene goes, but we've really come to the fore as far as New England goes.
And gosh, I just went blank.
That's okay. Think about it. I have a question.
Go ahead.
So, Michael, you just are a wealth of knowledge when it comes to beer in New Hampshire and a lot of other places too, probably. What are your connections and how do you find out about all these things that are upcoming and maybe haven't started yet?
There's a couple of different
places. Sounds like a full-time
job. Well, I put myself out a lot. I'm just kind of a networker in general. So no matter what aspect I'm dealing with of my life, whether it's the granite business that I do during the day or the brewing that I do at night or the social media that fits in between, I'm kind of jumping 110%. So I attend any openings I can. I'm also on a couple of talk groups on Facebook, one of New Hampshire brewers, specifically of folks that are open and that are in the process of being open, and then a couple of other groups on Facebook, one that's New England-based, one that's U.S. based, but I also have my podcast that I'm always booking new talent, and oftentimes I'll book somebody for that, and they'll say, "Hey, by the way, have you talked to so and so? They're about 3 months away from being open. You might want to chat with them and get them on the calendar." And sometimes that leads to another person, which leads to another person, mm-hmm. and a lot of it I actually get from listeners of the podcast that they actually will post stuff onto the Facebook page for the show or my own page about something that's happening either locally or nationally on the beer scene and provide a lot of my information for me. And actually my an aunt of mine who reads a lot, I said aunt, I'm from California, so I guess it would be an aunt, does a lot of reading of Wall Street Journal and other stuff, and she's actually just got a Google Alerts thing for beer, and she sends me a link once a week to about 30 articles that are beer related in the United
States. It just seems like almost every weekend there's a beer event. I mean, I don't think it used to be like that.
No.
Right. I mean,
no,
you come in
there's
and
a lot
always,
going on as yeah. far as that goes. I mean, not a weekend goes by that there's some type of beer fest or something going on. And, you know, and the population in general is, you know, very well connected as far as that goes. I mean, I get a lot of requests and texts from people going, "Are you carrying this beer? Are you going to be getting this one? And what's going on with that?" And it's... people are just right on top of the game.
And it's a pretty close-knit community in New Hampshire as well, because there's sort of the old guard, the folks that opened up 15-plus years ago, and there's only a handful of them that are still around. You know, we've got Smutty Nose, you've got Allagash, you know, sort of for the New Hampshire Seacoast scene. There's only four or five. Then there's some folks that open up like 4 or 5 years ago. There's the White Birch and sort of his generation of brewers. And then there was sort of a hiatus. And now there's all these young upstarts. And I think a lot of the young upstarts, so to speak, are all like-minded. And we all chat a lot. And I mean, I talk to all the other guys, too. You know, I talk to JT from Smutty all the time. I talk to Bill at White Birch all the time. But I think especially the folks that have in the last 30 months gotten their doors open or started that process, I think there's a real sort of a camaraderie amongst that group of folks, and we all chat with each other all the time.
And people always ask me, they say, "Bert, do you think there's the bubble is about to burst on craft beer in New Hampshire?" And I said, "I don't think it's even gotten close to it yet."
And I wonder that, because when there's so many little startups like that, how can they all compete against each other?
The pie is growing. I mean, if you look at the growth of people drinking craft beer versus the decline of people drinking macro, you'll see that the number of breweries opening up doesn't even account for the growth, actually. So the pie is growing faster than people are trying to pull from it.
And they all seem to be, we've only been to a couple of the craft breweries, but they all seem to have a different flavor profile,
for
too.
Sure. Yeah, there are some that are shooting for real accessibility. I would say that 603 has done an amazing job of making really accessible beers. And I think Great North has done a good job. They push the limits a little bit more, but then there's other folks that are trying to be on the outside. It's all what you want to drink.
Diversity, experimentation. There's a lot of great flavors coming out.
Yeah, there definitely is. Well, listeners, get on over to Bert's Better Beers, 1100 Hooksett Road, and get your Founder's Breakfast out. It's out just today, and it's limited edition. And I hear it's going to be at Bert's Better Beers, so get on over there. Thank you very much, Bert. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you for having me today.
Thank you. Always good to be here.
All right, we're at the top of the hour. Food for Thought will be right back.